Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. This is Pastora Scarlett with the Anointed Word Ministry. And I thank God once again that I'm able to come before you and just share in the goodness of the Lord. Share in his greatness, his mercy. Praise God. Share in his love. I'm just excited just to be back once again and to share the word of the Lord with you. And I pray that you had a blessed day today, because this word is the day that the Lord has made, and we should be glad and rejoice in it. And I'm just so excited, praise God, about the word tonight. And praise God, I pray, praise God, that you and yours and are well, and all is well with you, and that you know who brought you through this day. It was not our doing, neither was because we thought we deserved it. But I want to let you know, it's all because the love of a living God that loves us enough, praise God, to keep us and to protect us and to shield us. And I just want to say to you once again, I'm glad to be here once again. And this broadcast is brought to you by Happy Feet Program. God is truly blessed. And I will always acknowledge what he does for me. Because one thing about it, when he do it, it's not even talked about. It's not even, you know, something everybody want to say, you know, you think you just know. It's because of God's grace. It's because of God's goodness. It's because, praise God, Jesus Christ has made it all possible. He made it all possible. And he's just so indescribable delicious. You know, he's just that way. He's just that kind of a God. And he's the kind of a God that does what he say he would do. What I love about it, he don't lie. He don't lie. He's not a trickery God. He's a true God. He's not a lying God. He's a true God. And this is why I love him. Because one thing you should know, that if he said it, he will bring it to pass. You can depend upon him, and you can't depend upon nobody else. When you're in trouble, he's there. When you need him, he's there. May not come when you want him, but he is a right-on-time God. He's a right-now God. Yes, he is. Yes. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you're holding, but he's right on time. Oh, an on-time God. Yes, he is. That is a true saying. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you're willing, but he's right on time. Yes, an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. He's never late. He's an on-time God. And that's a good thing to say, because, see, his timing is not in our timing. But if we know and get to him and be in a relation with him and connect to him, we would know, praise God, that he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. On time. You say you need it then, but he knows when you need it. And that's why he can do it like that. The timing of God is everything. In the timing of God is everything. Yeah, God, he devotes you. It's an on-time God, that's what I'm saying. He's an on-time God, yes, he is. He's never late. Never late. Never late. My goodness. When you think about the word never, he's never late. always on time. Yes, he's always on time. I thank God tonight, praise God, because I'm happy, I'm loving the Lord, praise God. I love him because guess what? He first loved me. See, I didn't choose him, he chose me. Because, see, I was good at what I was doing. I was a sinner. I was the best sinner in the world. Oh, yes. You know, I wasn't ashamed. I mean, my sin, when I was in sin, I was in sin. There was no shame in my game. But when he made me an offer on the dance floor in 1979, I couldn't refuse. I had to make a choice. I had to choose or lose, but I chose Jesus for mine. God, I thank you tonight, Lord. And I'm asking you right now to come around, enjoy the word, get to know to love the word of God. You know, so much garbage has been sent out over the airways and preached from those, I won't say the poor, but from on the stage up there. And praise God, because they preach foolishness. They're not teaching you what the word of God says. The word of God was put here for our learning, for our liking, for our loving. That's why he left it. He didn't take it. He left it for us. And this is why it's so important, people, that you know the word. Many of us read all kind of novels all day. We got books. We got stacked up to the ceiling. We read, but you won't touch and test and study and learn the word of God. How smart are you? Hey, God, he bought Osiah. Because these other books are going to deteriorate. Don't let me think, don't get it wrong now, because I know I love books. I'm even an author. I like books, but guess what? Those books are going to deteriorate. But this word of God is going to stand forever. Yes, it's going to stand. It's stand against the worst times. And it'll pull you up and, you know, stand against all the tragedy and things that you go through. But when you think you're down and out and can't get up, and you're down in the muck and the mire clay, that's when the word, huh? See, because the Bible said the word, Jesus, he became his flesh. He became from one state to another state, and the word became flesh. The word became flesh. So we have to understand what we need in order, praise God, to go through this journey. This is a journey that we are going through, people. This is a journey. And it all depends on how you deal with what you have to go through on this journey to get you to the real journey. Hey, God, he didn't know she can't. I said to you yesterday that this is not the real world. These things are temporal. They are vanity. Vanity. Meaning they're not real. It's not real, people. It's all a show. It's all a make-believe. But you see, the real world is the spirit world. Because that world do not disappear. It do not be done away with. It lives forever. Spirit. This is why the Father said to us, if you come to me, you must come to me and worship me in spirit, not the flesh. Flesh on parade. No. Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth connect to each other. They love each other. You see, because the Bible says, worship him in spirit and in truth. So those that are trying to please him in the flesh, you've lost already. You can't please God in the flesh. Guess what? He doesn't even look at you in the flesh. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus, and that's through the spirit, my friend. You said, but yeah, but no. No. Yeah, but he know my flesh. No, he does not. Because the word of God said in Romans, the flesh is an enemy to him. To do all we have to do to stay in the face of the Lord. You know, it's amazing. Anytime, this is amazing. But devil, you don't win. I get the victory. I do get the victory. every time I begin to start ministering and bringing forth the word, here comes this demonic devil. But you don't move me, because I know I win. The broadcast just went blank, but it's okay. I'm still here. I'm still standing. You devil, leave here. And I send us, I return that spirit of discommunication, I return it back to you. Get out of here. You have no place here. You can't stop anything here. This is, praise God, this has been, praise God, anointed by God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I thank you because I'm not frustrated because of the little things that the devil does. Because the Bible says that he goes two and four, means unstable. He don't know where he belongs. He don't know what he wants to do. He just want to do something. He don't care, just as long as he's doing something. And anything he can do to try to frustrate your pain. That's what he did to Job. We tried to frustrate Job's pain. But Job knew who the devil was. See, when you know who he is, when you really know who he is, you can laugh at that devil. Laugh at him and send him out your midst. The Bible says if you resist the devil, what would he do? He would flee from you. He can't stay in your presence. When you resist him, when you resist him, he must go. He cannot stay. And I thank God for knowing who Jesus is. Father, you're an awesome God. You're an awesome God, Lord. There is not one like you. There's not one like you. Father God, you are the true and the living God. The living God. I mean, you're not a dead God. You live. You live, Lord Jesus. You live. You have proof that you are alive. And that's coming a day that every eye, you say, every eye, every knee, they're going to see you. They're going to see who they've been rejecting. They're going to see the magnificent power that you possess. Now the world wants to make it like a joke, but it's okay. You don't have to defend God when people try to joke about the Lord and say little jokes about Jesus Christ or God. It's okay. Because one thing I knew, though, I know those same words, you will eat them one day. So it doesn't matter. See, the world is in a place right now, they don't want no God. They don't want God at all. My friend, they don't want you talking about God. They don't want you praying. Now, praise God, they've gotten to the place you can't even go out on the streets anymore and minister. They want to lock you up. They want to put you in jail. But you see, you better understand, these people understand that whatever you are doing, and God standing there, he see it. He has an all-seeing eye. And all the evil that you do in this world, you will see it again. It's all now, everything is so crossed up and so mixed up. They don't want one nation, nationality of people to do this. They don't allow one nationality of people to do that. They want to lock them up. Lock them up. Now they got, now praise God, they call you if you stump your toe on the sidewalk and fall on the street, call the police. She's on the street. She's on the street. Call the police. No nonsense. Taxpayers' money just wasted. Just wasted. The ignorance. You walking down the sidewalk, you step on their grass, call the police, say, step on my lawn. That's so childish, so ignorant. But it's still okay. And if we can learn this and know this, because they say certain things to us and call us certain names, it's okay. They've been doing it since centuries they've done this. See, when you don't understand something and don't know something, you fear it. Fear is torment. They're tormented because they see they can't break your spirit. They don't know what keep you going, what keep you smiling, what keep you pushing. They say you don't have none, but you still got joy. You don't have a lot of money, but you're still living it. You're still making it. The devil can't understand that. You see, because we understand and know that little is much when God is in it. Hey, little is much when God is in it. Yes, you know survival. And everything now is all about this color, that color. Why you can't do this? Why you can't do that? And praise God, they calling us one thing that we never been in the first place. But people get all out of whack and get all upset and get all just carrying on and on and on. Be still. Be still. God sees and he knows. And you best assure that whatever you do, whether it's good or evil, and you will pay for it. The Bible said you will give an account of everything. I don't care if you're the mayor, the police, the president, the pope. I don't care who you are, the rich, the poor. You are going to give an account of the deeds you do in this body, the thing that you have done upon this earth, the thing that you've done to try to hurt someone else. The Bible said, do unto others as you will have them to do unto you. But you are doing the opposite. The Bible said, don't kill, you kill. Don't hate, you hate. How can you be so evil and hate so much? But yet, praise God, death come to you as it come to anybody else. Taking authority, using it the way you want to use it. Don't ever think that you're getting away with this. Because listen to me carefully. If you thought you could get away with it, you could talk to those that went before us and gone now that had all this power they said they had. I guarantee you they would tell you, please change your ways. But you think, you know, the world today think one side think the world belongs to them, and the other side, and other world don't want to be in the world. How much nonsense is this? How so foolish, so ignorant? We know that ignorance is a bliss. You're not supposed to be in this world, but you didn't put it here. You weren't there when you hung the stars. You wasn't there when you set the sun. You was not there when you spoke to life and to Adam. You wasn't there when he spoke, let there be light. So what do you have to do with it? Because you have to understand, see, one thing about individuals, they have a way of getting what they want, what it means, take it, steal it, whatever you want to do with it, but I call it mine, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I heard the Bible say, do not be not covetous. Don't be covetous. Why are you covering something that don't belong to you? Your life you breathe is by breath. So much hatred. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Got a duck hating children. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Babies don't know no better. That's the devil's advocate. But God got a time set. Yes, he does. When he do what he have to do, the world going to know he did. He going to know. You're going to know that he did it. Who did it? God did it. Because one thing about it, God has no respect of a person. What I say to one, I say to all. Yes. He has no respect of a person. Don't care what you have. Don't care how much you have it. But guess what? He has no respect of a person. He does not. He doesn't differentiate you better and you better and you better and you better. No. This is why he said in his word, a lie is a lie. But we have the tendency to try to divide the lie and say it's a white lie. Look at this. A white lie and a black lie. What? A white lie and a black lie. But the Bible said there is no degree in sin. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter who it comes through. Sin is sin. That's how the Lord sees it. There is no sin. No sin is bigger or better than the next sin. There is no sin like that. A lie is a lie. It's a lie. If it's a lie, it was a lie if I told it. It's a lie if you told it. It's a lie if the Pope told it. It's a lie if the preacher tell it. It's still a lie. It doesn't change. It does not change. A leper can't change his stripes. He can't. Neither the leopard can't change his spots. And the zebra can't change his stripes. He was born with stripes. He will leave him with stripes. He's still a striped what? Zebra. You can't change it, tell a lie and want somebody to say it's the truth. But today we're in this world because they call a lie the truth and the truth a lie. Everything is right on their side, but when you say it is wrong on your side. But these are the times that we're living in. But the Lord knew these things is going to happen. This is why he said to us, put on the whole armor. Put on your armor. Because they're going to be fiery dots fired at you. That you're going to need your armor. The devil is coming at you any form or fashion. He does not care. As long as he feels he can stop your progress, that's what he will do. Anything he'll use, your children, your husband, your jobs, your friends, he'll use them to stop your progress. This is exactly why we must have a deep, concreted relationship with the Lord. Because the devil won't stop at nothing until he gets you in his claws. This is what he does, what he does. You can't get mad at him because guess what? He do what he do. He do what he do. He was sent to what? He came to destroy. He came to devour. And he is doing just that. He's never stopped. He's never backed down. He's never said, I'm tired. Or I'm quit. Never, never, never. See, he knows, praise God, what he's here for. And that is to what? Destroy the human race. He's here to destroy. And I have to let you know, that devil has been raining havoc upon this earth. He has been raining havoc upon this earth. Yes, he has. He don't stop at nothing. Did you understand what I said? He don't stop at nothing. He's out to get it in. This devil is out to get it in. And he does not care who it hurts, who it comes for. He comes for us all. Yes, he does. Excuse me. He comes for all of us because he's coming for your mind because he wants to get your soul. He wants that soul. He doesn't care, praise God, if who you may be or who you think you are. He doesn't care, friend. He does not care. He's a destroyer. He is a destroyer. And I want to let you know he's working overtime. He's working overtime to get that time in, my friend. To get his time in, baby. Because he's not intending to miss not one. He want them all. One used to say, misery, love company. He's miserable. But don't give it. Don't give it. You know, you got to fight. You can't just stand there and let somebody just keep hitting you and hitting. Fight. And still fight. You can't fight? Fight. But don't just stand there. You can't, because he's out to destroy you. He's out to come and get you, your whole family. He's out to destroy the whole family. This devil don't care nothing about the newborn, the one that's not newborn yet, still in the making. He out to destroy everything. everything he's out to destroy, because he knows his time is short. And that's amazing to me. He knows his time is short. But we act like we got all the time in the world. He knows his time is short. But as the people of God and those that are in this world, we act like we're going to be here forever. No. See, the devil knows time. He knows time. But we act as if we got all the time in the world. All the time in the world. But I'm here to tell you tonight, no man know the time or the hour that the Son of Man might appear. We don't know. We don't know. And I hear all these people talking about the Lord done showed me this and showed me that. Sit down and quit lying on the Lord. He said no man know, not even the Father know when he's coming back. So how do you know? What gives you all that special thing that you know when he's coming back? See, when you find those kind, they want to be great. They want to make you think they're so great and they're so anointed. Hey, my God, you're giving account. Because God don't move like that. Don't act like, oh, God showed me when he's coming. I know when he's coming, and this is what he showed. But he's going to show you only certain people and certain races he's going to show. Sit down. Sit down. You see, because you know there's a lot of people out here that have itching ears. They love to hear things. Yes. They love to hear nice things. They don't want to hear the truth, though. They don't like the truth. But I thank God, praise God, that God is just saying to us, I'm giving you ample time. I'm giving you another chance. If you blow this chance, you are doomed. As I said to you yesterday, as long as you're alive, you got a chance. You see, you have to understand that God watches over you. Even while you're in your sins, he's still watching over you. But don't take it for granted. Still watches over you. Even when you're sinning, he shall watch over you. But sooner or later, you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve mammon? But you can't serve two. You say can't serve two masters. The man used to say, Joe Terry used to say, when trying to love two ain't easy to do. Trying to love two ain't easy to do. Because he's running from this and running from that one. He couldn't satisfy that one, trying to satisfy this one. Then he forgot the one he was trying to satisfy. He called her that name and called the other woman the other person's name. Because guess what? It's confusing to try to love too. You trying to serve God and mammon. Don't work. It's not even biblical. It's not biblical, my friend. We're playing games with the wrong one. Because in the end, you lose. You lose. Yes. You was caught snoozing, and you lose. God is saying to us tonight, I love you. The Lord loves us. He loves us the way we are. And this is why he says to us, come as you are. And I in no wise, I will push you out. I will shame you out. I will trick you. But come to me as you are. And allow me to cleanse you with the hyssop and the washing of my word, so that when these things take place, your whole entire inner being changes. You become a new creature in Christ, and all things are passed away. New things will take hold. The things you once loved, you'll begin to hate. And the things you once hated, you'll begin to love. That's that new birth. It takes place, and it makes you a better person. It makes you feel clean. You feel clean. You feel refreshed. Because, see, when you come to Christ and you begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry, for I know that I am a sinner. I know I've been sinning all these years. And, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. Don't stand and try to name them because you're going to miss some. But he said, if you confess your sins to me, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins. Ain't nobody do it but Jesus. Mama can't do it. Husband can't do it. Children can't do it. Preacher can't do it. Prophet can't prophesy, lie and tell you that he can do it. No. It only has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Listen, get this. Listen, get this. He's the only one that can wash you as white as snow and give you a new life that you never had before. I don't care how many tell you to get in line and tell you this, they're going to do. They're lying. They can't do it. Only the Lord can do this. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do this. And when you come to him and confess the sins that you have done, he said, I will put them. I'm going to put them in the sea. Now, you know a sea is huge and it's deep and there's no bottom. And you can't find nothing in there. He said, I'm going to throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. I won't remember them no more. What I used to do when I was in the world, can anybody condemn me? God washed that and took that away. And you don't need to try to go digging it up because now you are trespassing in the blood. You don't have to deal with me. You will deal with him. He put them in there. Hallelujah. So we have to understand we're looking to the wrong sources to try to get us and deliver us. Man can't deliver you. They need deliverance. We all need deliverance. The Bible says what? No, not one righteous, no, not one. For we have all fallen short to the glory of God. We have all fell short to the glory of God. We've all fell short to his glory. Mm-hmm. We have. Or someone will make you think they're more anointed than Jesus himself. No, my friend, not so. We all stand short to his glory. All the righteousness that we do is as filth and rags. Hey, oh, well, you thought you was good at two shoes. But no, sweet, because all your righteousness is as filth and rags before him. Oh, my goodness. Just the rag, Lord? You mean to tell me I was doing all this, Lord, and it's no good to you? It's still like rags that in a bundle or hanging on with no good? He says that's filthy rags. So don't get hot-headed and get boasted thinking you better or anointed than anybody else. You're headed for a big fall. He let you know what you do is not going to get you in. You're only saved by grace and faith through Jesus Christ. That's the only reason you're saved. It's not of your works, lest any man should boast. Because you sang and you anointed to say, speak a few words and you feel a little something, and you guys look a few tongues you can speak in, you think you're there? No, because guess what? All you're doing still, he says, that's filthy rags. Think about it. You're no better than anybody. We have to stay humble. That's why the Bible says to us, come to me, Jesus said, come to me as a little child, a child that's humble, a little kid, don't know no evil, don't think evil, don't try to do evil. All they know, they just do just what they're doing. They just, okay, just okay what they do. They don't sit up and ponder and plan and plot to try to do evil to somebody else. The Lord said, if you come to me, you must come. See, and a lot of us ain't going to do it because we don't like to humble down to nobody. You must come as a little child. Don't come walking up to me to my yellow, what's up? You must come as a little child. Humble. Trembling. You can't walk up to him and think you're as big as he is. Big mistake. So what are you saying tonight, Pastor Starlet? You got to get this thing lined up. You got to get alignment. You're out of shape. And you're not in alignment. And what the Lord is saying to us tonight, He's only concerned about our holiness. And the message tonight will be the holiness and happiness of a godly man, the misery of a wicked man. Holiness without no man, no boy, no girl, nobody, preacher, teacher, whoever evangelist, whoever you want to say with you as you're wrapped up in clothing, you will not see him. Holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Do you know that hell or Hades, you try to put it because people are going to steal hell. Yes, it is. A hot brimstone burning place, yeah. Did you not know that hell is going to be full of a lot of good people? See, good people don't go to heaven. They do not. They don't go to heaven. The one that has been living for the Lord and is holy before him, that's who goes to heaven. He got this thing mixed up. Good people don't go. Saved people do. Holiness without no man, no boy, no girl, no one can see him. And if you don't believe, the Bible says, he that does not believe, you damned already. Those that do not believe about on God, do not believe about God's word and what he has put in his word, he says, you damned already. That they'll be too scared for me to even stand up on them. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a man by the name of David. You know, everybody know about David. You know David was something else, honey. David was something. David was a go-getter. David was a one that went out. He was a warrior. He was a womanizer. He was all of that. But God. You see, David came, praise the Lord, from a large family. Now, I think it's about 12 or 14, how many were there? It was a large family, and all of them were boys. They had boys. They said good-looking boys, handsome young men. And they were very educated. Very educated. And the prophet Nathan was sent out to go and find a king. You see. And he set out on his journey. He went to this house, that house, looking. And when he went into this town, he asked about David's father. Wanted to know where did they live and where was he at and who was, how could he get to his house. He had a horn with a melted oil in it. And they showed him to David's house. But when they, Jesse, the father's name was Jesse. But when he got to Jesse's house, all everybody was there. All of them looking very fine, all grew down and looking, you know, very important. But and they were well spoken and they were educated. And the home was really put together. The home was a home. Well, you know that God was in the home. And then he talked to Jesse. Jesse, yeah, this is my boys, and this one is this, and this one is that. And he do this, and he do that. He has this, that one has that. And Nathan just sitting there, Pastor Nathan just sitting there looking at it. And he says to Jesse, Jesse, don't you have another son? He says, yeah, he's out in the field. He's grazing with the sheep and the cows and what have you out in the field. And that's when Nathan said, may I go out? I want to go out and see him. Jesse said, sure. You can go, you know, looking at him like David ain't going to do much, because David was a little run-down, little dirty boy. You know, he wasn't one that was real sophisticated and educated and all of that. But he loved the Lord. He loved the God. Mm-hmm. And while they were doing all the other stuff in the book, David was out there talking to the Lord in the middle of the night, the morning, in the pasture with the cows out there with the pook, sleeping out there with all of these snails and what have you. But he still was connected to God. He had a relationship with God. He was content. And whatever state he was in, he was content. He didn't worry about what man thought. He was content with God because he knew how to reach God in the spirit. And David began to talk to God. So when Naaman came up and saw David, Naaman knew that he was the one he was looking for. And of course, Jesse Bells was very discouraged because they're looking at, well, where they go? He go and get that for him for? He's smelly, he's dirty, he's not really educated, he don't speak that well. But the connection was not that. His connection was he was connected to God. And God anointed David to become king. And David was accepted. You see, David was, in the book of Psalms, David was the penman of most of the Psalms, but some eventually were opposed by other writers, of course, but all were written by the inspiration of the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Ghost. And every song either pointed directly to Christ in his person, his character, and his office. Or it may have led, you know, the believers through to him. And the Psalms are the language of a believer's heart, whether mourning or singing, thirsting after God or rejoicing in God. Whether the burden of affliction, struggles and temptations, or triumphs in the hope of enjoyment and deliverance, whether admiring the divine protection of God, thanking God for his mercies and meditating upon his truths, or even, praise God, delighting in his services. They were, praise God, divinely appointed, and it stands on experience, but which we may judge ourselves. Their value is very great, and the use of them will increase in the growth of our power in belief in the heart. Sessions, though. The Spirit helps us to pray. It's important that you have the Spirit. The Spirit helps us to pray. That's what the book of Romans says. So we moan and we groan because we don't know what to pray for. If we didn't do that, we pray repetitious prayers because we pray the same thing over and over. But with truth, belief, and we make the Lord our choice. See, you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice today. Whether you're going to live for him or you will die with the devil. You got to make a choice. Yes, you make choices every day of your life. You make choices getting up. What am I going to put on? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to sleep? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to go? You're making choices all through your life. But this is the most important choice you could ever make. Hey, God, is to make God your choice. You see, God allows us, no matter what we ask at the throne of grace, by way of confession and petition or thanksgiving, we may be assisted by his amaze and grace. Ever, divine affection is working in us. The holy desire of hope, sorrow, joy. We may find help in sound speech, which cannot be condemned. Mm-hmm. Cannot be condemned. In God, the prayers and the praises and the truth of God and the song that we send up to him in heaven, the song that we send up to him, praise God, in our prayer with that sweet smell. It's true praises to the believer and have been offered up to the throne of grace for ages and ages. We're not doing anything that has not been done before. Because everyone that comes this way must come through the door. Now, David started beginning to choose because David had a relationship with God in the Word. David had the Word in him. Upside down, up, under, over, through. You praise God. Beneath, he had it in all over him. David had the Word. David learned to meditate in God's Word. He said, it's a disclosure. We would do the same thing ourselves concerning the great things and contained in meditation. You see, you don't have to pray all the time. You can learn to meditate. That's what David said. I will meditate upon your word day and night. Yes, he read the word. Yes, he studied the word, but he meditated. Many of us don't know how to meditate. We never did it before. But you're missing out. This meditation, you see, when you get in God's presence and meditate, he hears you, you hear him. It's not always one person talking. You know, he just want to talk to the Lord. Talk. He wants you to get quiet, meditate, and then hear his voice in your inner man. Ha. Huh. Oh, God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. That close relationship of mind and the fixture of the thought. We must have constant regards to the word of God as the ruler of our action and the springs of our comfort and have it in our thoughts day and night. See, when we guard our thoughts and guard our mind, the devil can't attack. For this purpose, no time is amiss. The ungodly, you see, are the reverse of the righteous, and it's his both characters and condition. The ungodly are not so, says the Lord. They are led by the counsel of the wicked in the way of the sinner, to seat, the seat of the scornful. They have no delight in the law of God. They bring forth no fruit but what is evil. That's what the wicked does. But the righteous are like useful fruit trees. The godly are the chaff which the wind drives away. The dust when the owner of the field desires to have it driven away as not being to any use. You can't praise God. Say that you're righteous, but you are no use. You're no use. They are of no worth to God's account. You ain't no good to God's no account. You're just a talker. You're not a doer. You know what I'm saying? So don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. You work for man, not for God. You think because you do what you do in your church and your ministry, you're working for God. No, you're not. You're working for the pastor. You're working for God. No, you're not. No, you're not. To God's account, how highly whosoever, that they may have value for themselves. They are easily driven. Easily driven. Mean you are tossed to and fro. Tossed to and fro. You're tossed going and you're tossed coming. You're unstable. Yes, you are unstable. You don't know how to stand for God. You think you're standing for God. But however, you're not. You're not. You see, as you said to people, you said, let my work speak for me. What work? The work of the Lord. You got to be in a connection with God in spirit realm, sweetie. Spirit realm. The spirit of God be directing you. Yes. And that's why he was saying to the people, your fruits are evil. Your chaff is being pushed away with the wind. It's been like dust. Their works, that is. The chaff may be for a while among the wheat. That's why the Bible said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. And when I come, I'm going to separate it and let it grow. Those of you praise God are doing what God said doing. And witnessing, praise God, and talking to people and teaching the word of God. Keep doing it. Doesn't matter who don't want to hear it or who don't like you because you do it. Keep doing it. Wheat and tare grow together. But God said, but when I come, but he's coming, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. I mean, I'm going to thoroughly purge the right from the wicked. The right from the wicked. Those that are on their own sin and folly, foolishness, make themselves as a chaff. Chaff means you ain't nothing. You're just something to be thrown out. And we'll be found to be forth the whirlwind, the fire of divine wrath. Did you hear that? Divine wrath. And he said, I love you. He said, divine wrath. the doom of the ungodly is fixed. But whosoever the sinner becomes sensible. Now, if the sinner becomes sensible, what that means? Repent of his guilt and misery. He may be admitted into the company of the righteous by Christ, and live in ways and become a new creature in Christ. That's something you got to do. Become that new creature in Christ. You got to recognize you're a sinner. You got to recognize that you are filled with sin. You must recognize that. You don't mean you recognize somebody because they're singing a song at church and you go to crying and you go up and sit in the chair and they take your name and your address, your number, baby. That's all about that money. Because when you're not there, they're going to have the secretary to call you and say, why weren't you in church today? Not that how you're feeling is your soul. No, ain't nothing about no soul. They're going to know why you weren't there because the offering pan was passed and you didn't want there to give anything. I know I'm talking good. He has new desires, new pleasures, hope, fear, sorrow, companion, and employment. His thoughts, words, and action are changed. That's what God has. When you bring that new creature come, those things change in you. It changes you. Oh, yes. You start looking different. My God. He said, and behold, all things have become new by the divine grace of God, which changes his soul into the image of the Redeemer. How different the character in the end of the ungodly. It is a threat against the enemy of Christ. You see, when you come to Christ, the devil don't like that. The devil gets mad. He gets angry. He want to try to trip you up. He want to try to set you up. He want to try to cast you down. Because now he calls you you are a traitor. Because you have crossed over to a new life. And as this world is the kingdom of Satan, you say to me, say that again. This is Satan's kingdom, people. Satan takes care of his own. He provides for his own. The Bible says the devil shall give stones to his children. How much more should he give to you, to us? He's going to take care of us. This is the devil's playground. This is his world because the Bible said, this is the kingdom of Satan. Unconverted men of every rank, party, and character are stirring up by him to oppose the cause of God. This is what he do. But the ruler of the earth, Judah, has been more active, you know. But the truth and the precept of the Christians are against ambition, project, and worldly lust. You don't try to fit in with what everybody else is doing. You don't try to do what every other person is doing. This is not your home. But we're told, praise God, that they aim at the opposition. They will break asunder the bands of the conscience and the cords of God's commandments. They will not receive it because they cast them away as far as they can. Oh, yes, they did that. Yes, yes, yes. They took down the Ten Commandments. They don't even teach the Ten Commandments anymore. We don't even recite the Ten Commandments anymore. It is a covenant, and it does not disappear. It's a covenant, meaning man didn't give this. Hey, God, Yahusha, God gave it. But we ignore the Ten Commandments. We don't even, I don't think... Too many people even know the Ten Commandments. I don't even know they recite the Ten Commandments. It's something that the world has abolished. But it does not make God's word non effect. His word still is true. It still stands. You can burn them if you want to. You can paint over them. You can rip them up. But the Ten Commandments still stand. Just because people will deceive it, doesn't make it none avoid. It does not make it none avoid. But you have to understand, because the world hated Christ. These enemies can show you. What enemy? The enemy of this world. No good cause for opposing so just and so holy, such a holy God to govern me. You see, the Bible says when he said, I am Emmanuel. God is with us. He told you that he heard and that the word of government was upon his shoulder. His shoulder. You see, we've gotten away from what God wanted to do. This is why everything we touch is in a mess. Everything. Because he's already given us the blueprint to do what we must do and to show us what we must do. But yet and still, we go out and make our own laws, do everything through, and everything is in a chaos and a mess. The White House is just as messy as it ever has been. What White House? That White House is going down. There won't be another one. The government is rotten. They're not for you. God said, I will take the government, I will lift it up on my shoulder. If we allowed him to do what he said he would do, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now. But, nope, we had to go get this one and that one, this one and that one. Everybody in there trying to get money to get richer and the poor get poorer. That's what they did. The White House is getting richer and the people in the United States are getting poor. Just oppressing the people, which is received by all, will bring a heaven. He will bring a heaven upon earth. They can hope for no success in so opposing such powerful as a kingdom that God was wanted to offer us. The Lord Jesus Christ has all power, both in heaven and in earth. And his head over all these things to the church. Now, the church people, we're not talking about a building now. Listen to me carefully. We need to know this. Now, the church, notwithstanding the rest is the endeavors of the enemy, Christ's throne is set up in his church. And that is in the hearts. Hello, hello. Your church is in the hearts of the believers. Not the building. The big sanctuary, the stained glass windows. With everybody in the Bible's on there, on those windows, yes, that is not what the Holy Ghost is talking about. He's talking about the believer's heart. The believer's heart from the book of Psalms. The kingdom of the Messiah is found upon an eternal decree of God the Father. This our Lord Jesus offered refers to us as what? He governeth by himself. God has said unto him, thou art my son. And it behooves each of us to what? To say to him, thou art my Lord. Thou art my Lord. My only Savior. The son is asking the heathen of this inherited desire their happiness in him so that he plead for them every life to do so and can save to the uttermost. God save to the utmost. And he shall multiply a multitude of really loyal subjects among them. Christians are the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the pastor. Some of these pastors are like they own you. Like they're the one praise God birth you, had made you. Everybody saying being disobedient, but know who you belong to. The happiness in him, he said, that he pleads for them every life to do so and can save to the uttermost. Jesus can save to the uttermost, multitudes, willing subjects among them. Christians are the possession. Hello. Christian is the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are to him for a name and a praise. God, the only created you to praise him. Going and coming. He made you to praise him. Going and coming. Our God, yes. God the Father gives them to him. When by spirit and grace he works upon them to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we rejoice in this world, it must always be with trembling because of the uncertainty of all the things in it. To welcome Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and to submit to him is our wisdom and our interest. Your wisdom and your life. Let him be very dear and precious to you. Love him above all. Love him in sincerity. Love him much as much as he loved you. He loved you enough to pick you up and out the muck and the mire place. He loved you enough to spare you to see a new life and live life. You don't even tell God thank you. It said love him. Love him like he loved you. He loved you first. Now love him back. You cannot praise God. Please God in your flesh. Then the word also said, to him much is given, and in token of his kiss, his feet. The woman that kissed his feet in Luke 7:38. And with the kiss, a royalty takes his yoke. He said, you've got your heavy and you're down and you're up. Take the yoke upon me. What is your yoke? My word, learn me. Learn about me. Learn all the benefits I left to give to you to help you go through this journey. You don't have to go through it alone. Why are you trying to do it all by yourself? Well, I'm in here all by myself. Well, you're right. If you don't know who Jesus is, you are very correct. You are in it by yourself. Take this yoke upon you, he said, and give up yourself to be governed by his laws, disposed by his providence, and entirely devoted to his cause. Unbelief, people. Unbelief is a sin against the remedy. Unbelief is a sin. It will be utterly destroyed to yourself, lest you perish in the way of your sin. And from that way of your vain hope, lest you perish by the way. Lest you prove to have missed it. The way of happiness, Christ is the way. Take heed, lest you be cut off from him as your way to God. You're trying to get somewhere you don't know how to go. You don't even know how to get there. You're lost. Yes, you're lost. But there's a remedy for you to come from being lost and get into the way. And you walk therein. That's where he goes. There will be in the day of the wrath. God's wrath is not something you want to be in. The wrath of God, the Bible says, there will be a great and a terrible day of the Lord. My God. Who by trusting in Christ have made him their what? Refuge. An active believer. The more he is beaten off from God, either by the rebukes or the providence or the reproaches or the enemy, the faster hold he will take, and the closer he will cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is out to get you. The devil is out to destroy you. He'd rather see you down than to see you up. A child of God stutters at the very thought of despairing of hope and helping God. You see, what God is to his people is what he will be when they have found him. What David found in him, safety, a shield, a rock, hiding place, which denotes the average of the protection. Honor those whom God owns. Those who God owned for his have true honor put upon them. Cling to the people and women of God, the people of God. Joy and deliverance. If in the rest of the time, God people can lift up their head with joy, knowing, praise God, that all shall work for the good to them that love the Lord, and they will own God as giving them both a cause and a heart to rejoice. The Bible said, praise God, in 1 Corinthians, 2 Colossians, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. What did he say? Pray. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. He's pleading with us now. Look at a good God like this, a great God, awesome God, pleading with this flesh. Turn from your wicked ways. If you can do that, he said, I will call. I will. I tell you what I'm going to do. If you could turn from your wicked evil ways, turn and pray. I will hear your prayer. I will relieve you of the abomination. And he will heal our land. People are too lazy, too stubborn to even turn and pray to God. But David had always found God near to answering his prayer. Nothing can be fixed. A gulf between the communication of God's grace towards us and the working of his grace in us, between his favor and our faith. God has already written out the plan for us, people. He's already laid it before us. But we're going around trying to find this plan, trying to dig up that plan, trying to see which plan will work. Which one can you get? How much you can get it for? How long is the plan? What is it made of? God has given us everything that we need to keep us, praise God, in his grace and his mercy. He has given it to us. He has already provided it for us. He has always left it for us. He left us benefits. And the only way you can get his benefits is to get into his grace that, praise God, you can use the benefits of God. Hallelujah. You see, the wicked man suffers and he loses and he's damned. But the people of God and the saints of God, the Christians of God, should be rejoicing when you know your place in God, when you know that you are connected to God, when you know that God hears your prayers, when you know that God comes from your call, when you know that God is there for your ass, when you know that God is your lawyer, when you know that God is your doctor, when you know that God is your finance provider, when you know that God is your provision, when God is your healer, hallelujah, what are you waiting for? You know who he is, but you have turned away from God. In this world, praise God, of destruction. And the Lord is saying to us tonight, if you do not repent and turn from your wicked, evil ways, you will all likewise perish. I promise you, said God. You will perish. You will perish. There is no, I'll do it. I'm coming again. No. 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 You have a chance. But yet you still act like you got it. You act like you think you know you got it. But the Lord is saying to you tonight, turn. Wicked man, turn. Wicked woman, turn. Wicked child, turn. Wicked people, turn. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying, turn from your wicked evil ways. You're going to perish. Least by the way you perish. My God. Yeah. He's saying to us tonight, you got a chance to make it out. But it's by your choice. It is by your choice. One thing you must know about the Lord, he does not force himself upon you. This is why he stated in his word, he that will, let him come. He that will, let him come. Don't bring them, let them come. He wants you to make that choice. And many of you are being fooled The devil is winking at you. And you're going to lose your life. The devil knows it, but he don't want you to know it. That's one thing he don't want you to know. He'll fog your mind with all kind of things and all kind of questions to ask. That's not important. What's important is for you to ask the Lord, Lord, save me. Do not let me die and go to hell. Do not let me perish and go to the underworld, that burning place. That place, praise God, where no one comes out. Listen to the Lord. He's saying, I want you to come to me just as you are. You don't have to change. If you could change, you would have done it by now. You would already taken care of that, but you can't, because the spirit that has you and holding you is over. It's like a stronghold. The strong man has you bound. You can't get out. He's too strong for you. You're going to try every prescription there is, but you have not tried Jesus. He's the one that has your antidote. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, tonight, Father, I pray, praise God, that your word, praise God, went forth. Because you said it in your word, Lord, your word will not go out there void. But it will go out and accomplish that in which it has been said. Lord, I send the word, a double portion of your word has been sent. Send it, Father, to open hearts, to break yokes, to unlock, praise God, treasures. Praise God, unlock, praise God, those, praise God, that are fearful, God, the spirit of fear. I speak death to the spirit of fear right now. The devil, the Lord thy God, rebuke you. And I return that spirit to you. Go back to your owner, you spirit of fear. You spirit, praise God, of intimidation. I speak death to your pain right now. For your pain has been decelerated. So I will send it back to the spender. I send it back to the sender. Go back and go to the spirit of the abbots. Go in the name of Jesus. The spirit of torment. Go. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of unbelief, go in the name of Jesus. Go and return no more. For God will set his people free. Set them free right now, Lord, that they may come to you, Father God, and seek after a true and a living God. Father, I thank you tonight, God, because your word is true. Lord, I praise you tonight, praise God, because I know that your word will not go out void, but it goes out. And it'll accomplish. Thank you for the accomplishment, Father. Thank you for the accomplishment. Let your word, praise God, be true. Let it be established in four corners of the universe. Let it be established. Father, we also come against the spirit of violence. We come against the spirit of hatred in the name of Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we bind that spirit of hatred. We bind it up in cords, hallelujah, and we cast it into the abyss. Go, you spirit of hatred. You spirit of hatred. You spirit of violence. Go in the name of Jesus. We send you to the outer parts of the earth. We send you to the abyss. Go, go. Return to your maker. Return to your maker, Father. Yeroshiyama, but allow to return to its maker. Do not, Karamosha Kalimashika. In the name of Elamoshiyaha. Kaliyasamalubeketekaunsa. Every spirit that is not of you, God, send it to the spirit of Arabis. And we bind it on earth, and you bind it in heaven. Whatever we lose, you lose. We lose the spirit of Turkey. We lose the spirit, praise God, of peace, understanding, praise God. We lose it. In divers places from the four corners of the earth. We loose it. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah, God. In the name, in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the holy blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Yes, the blood of Jesus, the holy blood, rest and rule upon your children. We thank you, Father. And Father, we appreciate you. We appreciate you, for you are the God. You're the God. You're the awesome God. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and surely the ending. We thank you right now, and we bless your name. And I say, shalom till we come again. Be blessed. Be blessed.